We continue our learning. We are in Bava Kamma, Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet. Hashaleach Hasad Be'era Biad Chere Shote V'Katon Potter B'dinei Adam Mechai B'dinei Shama. We have a case: a person causes a fire through the means of a deaf mute, a Shote, someone mentally deranged, or a Katon. He basically gave a coal that was glowing to one of these people. Don't have the proper intellect. They turned it, they fanned it into a flame, and now the fire caused damage to someone's property. So the person who sent them along is going to be Potter B'dinei Adam. Legally, he's not going to be Chayv because these people who he sent are not really considered a shaliach. It's not like as if you pointed a shaliach. They don't have the status of shlichos. So therefore, you're going to be patur b'dini adam. Legally, you really, technically, do not have to pay for any of the damage. They are basically on their own. They're not your shaliach because they don't have the status of being a shaliach. But if you gave them not a coal, a be'era, but rather a flame, so that what we call a shaleves, so then the person would be held accountable when he gave it to them, because by giving them a fire itself that can burn property the way it is, so it's as if you caused the fire yourself, and that's assuming we follow the opinion of Reish Lakish in the Gemara, and we've shown him hold that way. But either way, even in this case where you gave them a coal and they caused damage, although you're part of Midin Adam, you don't have to pay V'chai B'dinei Shamayim, which means by the laws of heaven you're going to be Chayev, which one way to explain that means that properly you really should pay for the damage B'dinei, although not B'dinei Adam, to be Yotzei Yedei Shamayim, to do the proper thing, you really should pay for it. Let's say you gave that fire to a person who's a pikeach, not a cheshet v'katam, someone who is intellectually sound, functioning normally, and now it causes fire. So now we don't hold the one who gave it to him liable. The pikeach is going to be chayv for any damage that causes. That's based on the fact that that although you may have appointed him as a shaliach, and yes, a pikeach has the ability to be your shaliach, nonetheless, ain't shaliach l'dvar avera. We don't assume that he is shalucho shel adam kamoso. We assume if an avera happens, so the person is on his own. We are based on the principle. We employ the principle divrei harav, divrei hatam, divrei mishomet. When the master tells you one thing, which is don't cause damage, which is Hashem telling you don't cause damage, and the Talmud tells you something else, which is the one who appointed a shaliach gave you this object, maybe even to cause damage. That's not his problem. That's your pikeach. You can make that decision on your own not to cause any damage. And therefore, we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, and it's the pikeach's liability. Let's say the pikeach doesn't know that he's doing anything wrong. So that's a question whether he's considered exempt and the obligation goes on the sender. That's some discussion, since the concept of divrei harav v'divrei hatam v'divrei mishomin, a case of shogeg, may not apply. That's a machlokas rishonim. Then the Mishnah says, Echad hevias ha'ur v'echad hevias ha'etzim, ha'mevias ha'etzim chayev. Here you have a case where, a new case, a person brings a fire, one person is bringing a fire. He has a match lit, whatever it is. The other person is bringing wood, and therefore that wood ignites the fire, and now that fire spreads and causes damage. Ha'mevias ha'etzim chayev. The one who brought the wood is actually held accountable for all the damage, because it had not been for him, the second person, who we assume is the one who brought the wood, the fire would have eventually extinguished and never would have spread. So the one who brings the etzim and now lights that, they light on fire and cause damage, he's the one who's chayv, he's the one who came afterwards. Echad avias ha'etzim, but let's say one person is bringing wood. The wood was not ignited at all. The echad avias ha'or, and then afterwards someone brought the fire and he ignited the wood. Ha'mevias ha'or chayv. In this case, he's the second one. Obviously, he's held accountable. The one who brought the fire, he's going to be chayv for any liability. Ba'acher v'liba. Let's say you have a fire and it would have been fine without, and it would not have caused damage. But someone came along and he fanned the fire. And now, because of that, more than just what the wind would do, this would be like an unusual wind. So this second person is the one who turned it really into a fire that could potentially cause damage. Hamala b'chayv, although he's not the one who brought the fire, nonetheless, the fire would have extinguished without him. So he fanned the fire, he's going to be chayv for any liability. Then the Mishnah says, libisa haruach, let's say is the wind that fanned it, an unusual wind came along, kulan pturim. Then everybody is going to be exempt. The one who brought the wood, brought the fire, doesn't matter, because this is not something that we'd have expected. We would have expected the fire to go out and not happen for this wind, and therefore everybody's going to be exempt. Mishnah then says, Hasholeach has a beir, one who sends forth a fire, va'ochla etzem, and it consumes someone's wood, o avanim o'af, or even stones or earth, it singed the stones or the top of a plowed field, so therefore now it has to be replowed, so there is some financial loss. Then Chayv, he has to pay for the damages. How do I know that it applies to all of these cases, even avanim and afar? Shenemar, ki seitzei esh, umatza'a kotzim, v'ne'achal godish, o akama, o hasodeh, shalem yishalem ha'mavir es habeir. The one who lit the fire is obligated to pay. He is held liable in what cases? Where the fire goes out and it finds thorns or a stack of wheat or a kamo or standing wheat. Oh, hasadeh, shalim shalim, he has to pay. So what is hasadeh? Meaning all of these things we have on the list. What's in the list? He spoke about all things that are flammable. He spoke about a stack of a standing wheat, which are still attached to the ground, or a stack of wheat, or kotzim, which are thorns. All these things are flammable. And then it goes down and causes damage. So what does the phrase o hasadeh mean, or a field? That seems to be extra. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that it means the earth itself, where fire comes along and causes a plowed field to be singed. And that that's damage as well. So you're going to pay for that. Avro gadir, let's say you have a fire from the wood now is on fire. Now it's able to go over a fence, a stone fence, and that fence is high. It is 4 amos high. Oh, derech harabim. Well, let's say the fire crossed over a road that is 16. We assume derech harabim from Hilchos Shabbos is 16, a minimum of 16 amos wide. So we'll see a little bit later that this statement of derech harabim, that fire passed through an area that's 16 amos wide, it actually follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see machlokes tanoim a little bit later. But if you have fire that avra gader crossed over this fence that was 4 amos wide, meaning there was wood that was on fire, and now somehow was able, the wall was higher than the burning wood, and the flames went over the wall, or went through, or crossed this derech harabim, this whole area that had nothing flammable, and is able to go through onar. Or let's say there was a river, we're speaking about a ditch that we assume is at least 8 amos wide, which is obviously half of the 16 amos wide of a derech harabim. Machlok is Rishonim, whether there has to be water going through this area when the fire crosses, or maybe even where there's no water, but either way, the area is deep enough, and we assume that this is a significant area where we wouldn't necessarily assume that the fire could pass through. So over nagader again, the fence shu gavo arba amos, odera harabim, the 16 amos wide, oh nahar, or this river, a ditch that is eight amos wide. Patu, the halachas in all of these cases is patu. Why? A fire normally does not cross these areas, these types of barriers. And if it does, then it's like an ones. It's beyond your control. And therefore, the one who started the fire is not held accountable and does not have to pay for any damage that it causes after crossing these very wide areas. Hamadlik besoch shelo, ad kama tabor hadaleka. So here's a very important question. When it comes to a fire, if you light something, this arson, you light something on fire, that's adam mu'alolam. That is a direct action. We don't need to come up to the issue of esh as one of the four categories or several categories of nezikin in order to speak about lighting something on fire. Lighting something on fire is causing direct damage. That would be no different than breaking a window directly. The fire issue here of Aish, the Chiddush of Aish, is that I light the fire in my own property, and then it travels, it traverses an area, and we just spoke about areas that may be very wide, and we don't expect it to go over that area, and therefore you'd be exempt. In other areas, we assume that the fire will travel, especially if there are flammable substances on the way, there's grass and other things along the way. So the Mishnah wants to know here, if you light in your own property, ad kama tabor hadaleka, how far can the fire travel along a space that doesn't have flammable substances that are going to feed the fire, where we would say you will be exempt because you started in your own resource, your own domain. There's nothing flammable that's close to where you are. So at what point do we say that you would be exempt? Ad kama tabor hadaleka, for you to be chayav versus for you to be patur. So here we we have a machlokas tanaim, and we mentioned before that 16 amos, that was Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer ro we know so ki ilu hu beem sabes kor. He says like this: person who lights the fire is going to be exempt only if the space between the fire and the next property, the neighboring property, is at least 137 amos on either side. What does that mean? Well, it says a base core. A base core is an area that is 274 amos by 274 amos. A core is 30 sa. An area that can grow 30 sa of wheat is what we're talking about. So you're going to be exempt only if the space, the larger space, only if the space, there's empty space between the fire and the next property is as at least as much as if the property were a core space away and the fire is where the area was a core, an area that you're able to grow a core, and the fire was in the middle of the property. So if the area that I can grow a core of wheat is 274 amos by 274 amos, that would mean that there's 137 amos on either side. So that's what we're talking about. If you have that much open empty space, 137 amos or more between where you lit the fire in your property and the next neighboring property where it could cause damage, so then you're going to be, assuming it's empty space, there's nothing flammable, then you'll be exempt. But if it's only, say, 100 amos between where you're lighting the fire and the next property, even though that's empty space, you're going to be chayv. So that is a big chumrah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shisha Asar Amos, Kederech Rishus Harabim, exactly what we said in the Mishnah. This is an air, this is a distance of 16 amos, which is typically the Rishus Harabim. So that, Rabbi Eliezer assumes, is the area, if it's able, if there's an empty space of 16 amos or more, you're not going to be liable. But if it's less than, let's say 15, 10 amos between where you lit the fire and the neighboring property, although that space in between is empty, you're going to be chayev. Rabbi Akiva Mer Chamishim Amos. It has to be a distance of 50 amos between the fire and the neighboring property for the person to be potter. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalem Yishalem HaMaviras HaBe'era HaKol Fi Adeleka. What does it say? The person has to pay who? The Maviras HaBe'era. The phrase Es HaBe'era is obviously extra because HaMavir, the one who lit the fire. Oh, HaMavir, the one who lit the fire, Es HaBe'era, the fire. So that's obviously extra. What does that come to teach me? Comes to teach me, all depends on the size of the fire. If the flames are very high, so then it could potentially spread much further. So then you'll need a larger space for you to be exempt. And if the flames are not so high, so a smaller space, and we happen to follow, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, and if we don't have we don't have a precise distance, you have to figure out, the basin would figure out how large the fire was, how high the flames were, and how far away the neighboring property was in order to make that decision. Perek Vav Mishnah. Hey, Hamalikes HaGadish. So now we continue our discussion of Eish, of fire. Here's someone who lit a Gadish, a stack of wheat, on fire. And he lit it his own, he lit the fire in his own property, is making a barbecue, and then it spread, and it burnt the gadish, a stack of wheat of his friend, Vahayubo Kalim. And in fact, underneath, hiding it, under that stack of wheat of his friend, there were vessels as well, vidalku. And not only did the stack of wheat burn because of the fire that this other guy lit, but the kalim, the vessels that were underneath the stack, also burned. Question is, do you have to pay for the kalim also? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yishalim Master Mesocho. You have to pay even for the kalim that were tamun mesocho hagadish. This is the famous concept of what we call tamun, where it's hidden. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to pay for tamun. According to the Chachamim, you don't pay for Tum, you don't pay for Kalim that are hiding. So Vachachamim Omrim, the Mishnah says, Eino Mishalim Elo Gadish Shalchitim O Shal Saorim. You only have to pay for what we call Golui, that which is revealed, that which is exposed, and not Kalim that are hidden. What's that based on? Based on the Pasuk. It says you lit a fire, but V'ne'echal Gadish O HaKama. What did the fire do? It lit a stack of wheat, or Kama. Kama is a standing wheat, and we learn like this, Ma Kama B'Golui. Just like standing wheat is gully, something that's exposed, something that's not hidden, something you can see. Av kol begoli. So too, there comes to the av nizikin, this category of eish. You only chayef if it burns something that's gully. Prat l'tamun, that excludes something that's hidden, and therefore you're not chayef for any kalim that are underneath. Now the Gemara, so the Mefarshim explain that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing whether the Gadish had kalim that people typically hide right in there. Let's say you had some threshing kalim or some plowing kalim. That could be in the field underneath your stack of wheat. So that the halacha is that even Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're going to be patur for that, even though those are kalim that are typically maybe in the field underneath the stack. And certainly, whether a kalim which people don't normally place underneath the stack, like a purse, coins, or things like that, that holds coins, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're going to be chayiv even on kalim that people don't normally hide there. And according to the Chachamim, you're going to be patur even on kalim that people normally hide there. This is all based on the Gzeres HaKosuf. The Chachamim, when we say that you're exempt from Tamon, that is the Kalim themselves, though. You don't have to pay for it. But the place of the Kalim, the Makom HaKalim, you do have to pay for. So what does that mean? Well, think about it. You have a stack of wheat. So the stack of wheat, you're able to find space underneath the stack of wheat. You had a few Kalim underneath there, and then you pile the wheat on top. So if you would have taken out, if you take the kalim out, there's open space there. So, which if the kalim weren't there, you could have put more wheat there. So according to the Chachamim, you're not paying for the value of the kalim, but you are paying, and you are paying for the value of the gunnish of the stack of the wheat, but we consider as if the place of the kalim had wheat there. So you're going to pay for more wheat than is actually in that stack. You're going to pay for the wheat that's there and for the space where the kalim take up, whatever space it takes up, a make-believe that there's wheat there, and that wheat, the wheat that fills up that space, you're going to have to pay for as well. Then the Mishnah says, Hayagidi kafuslo. Let's say there was a goat that was tied to the stack of wheat and it wasn't able to run away. So now you lit a fire in your backyard and it spread to someone else's yard. You're going to be chayv to pay for the gadish, obviously for the stack, everyone agrees, but there's also a goat that's attached to it. You have to pay for your friend's goat as well. It couldn't run away. Or the Eved Samachlo. Or let's say there was an Eved Kanani, the property of that other field. The owner of the stack of wheat that was burnt also has an Eved, and that Eved or this Gedi, this goat, that Eved was not tied to it, so he potentially could have run away. Vinisravimo, and he was burnt along with the Gadish. So says the Mishnah, Chayev. You're going to be Chayev. So what does it mean going to be Chayev? So the Gemara explains, you're Chayev to pay for the Gadish and for the Gedi, but you're Pater for paying for the Eved. Why? Because the Eved could have run away. So you're not chayv for paying for the fact that the Eved was burnt, he died. You don't have to pay for the value of the Eved. So once again, hayigidi kafuslo, the gedit's tied to it, and it couldn't run away. Or the Eved is samachlo, v'nitzrafimo, and it was burnt along with the gadish. You chayv to pay for the gadish and the gedi, but on the Eved, you're going to be part of it because it could run away. What if Eved kafuslo, the gedit samachlo? Let's say the Eved was tied to it, so the Eved could not run away. He was tied to the stack, and the gedi is next to it, or the gedi, let's say he's samach, and it could have run away. Vinisrafimo, and it was burnt with a gadish. Pater. So here, you're going to be pater. Now, you're going to be pater on everything. So let's see. Why you pater on the gedi? Because the gedi could have run away. You only have to pay for the gadish. Why you pater the evid if the evid was tied to it? So the answer is, you were pater before, where the evid could run away. Now the evid is tied and he can't run away. You're pater for the paying for the value of the evid? Yes. Since you're chayev misa for killing the Eved, you're pater from tashlumin. Meaning what? What we're arguing here is that you are not chayev to pay at all. Meaning when it comes to the gedi that could have run away, you don't have to pay the gedi. You have to pay for the gadish. When it comes to the case of the Eved, so it sounds like here you don't have to pay for, you don't have to pay even for the gadish, because since you're chayev misa on that act of killing the Eved, because the Eved was tied to it. So therefore, you're going to be pater based on the principle of kam le b'derabim yinei. When you have a person does an action, there's two punishments. There's misa and mamon. Chayv misa for killing a human being, killing the Eved, and you chayv mamon for the gadish. You pater for the mamon, and because you chayv the misa. And this would be true even if it's a case of shogeg, based on a famous Tana de Bechizkiah, that a person is going, we have this in the past, that you pater, even though you're not going to be chayv misa. But because had you done it b'mezid, you would be chayiv misa, and you would be patur from the tashlumin from the payment. Here as well, you're going to be patur from the tashlumin, even if you're not going to be chayiv misa, because the act itself was the killing of a person, which b'mezid would have been mechayiv you misa. The Mishnah says, "Umodim chachamim Rabbi Huda, but chachamim admit to Rabbi Huda. This is the chachamim who hold you're not chayiv for tamun. You're not chayiv when there's the kelim underneath the stack. You don't have to pay for the kelim that are burnt. So the chachamim agree to Rabbi Huda in the following case of tamun. B'malikas abira, here a person sets fire to another person's property. So he's there. He's causing direct damage. Shumishan komash besocho. He has to pay for all the things in that bira, in that house, in that building that are burnt. Not only for the house, but anything inside, even though that would be tamer. Why? Shekein derech b'nei adam l'haniach b'batim. Well, because people typically leave things in the house. So you'll say like this, so it sounds like from here, see, although he is considered, this is a direct damage. This is not just the classic case of Eish. Nonetheless, a person is only considered liable because people customarily place different things in houses. When it comes to grain, though, if you remember, you're only chayiv for kalim that people typically leave there, as we said, let's say things for threshing, harnesses and things like that. That's what people, that's typically found in stacks of grain. So that, but let's say a purse or something like that, he would be exempt. So according to the Chachamim, there are two conditions for a person to be chayiv. First of all, it has to be that he set the fire directly, as opposed to the other case of the Gadish, where you set it in your property and then it went. And the other is that the items that are there are usually found there. If they're not usually found there, so you're not going to be chayiv.